Oh, man, this is why we do At the Movies every year, because believe it or not, there are actually some fibers of faith, spiritual threads that we find in this movie, and that's what we're going to look at this weekend. And so, man, super excited you're here with us. My name's Kurt, and if you're here for the first time, certainly hope it's not your last time. And if you're here for the first time, that means you have some free movie tickets coming your way, so make sure you let us know that on the connection card. Real quick, how about some noise for those tuning in online this weekend, YouTube online, Crosspoint online, on demand. So good to have you with us. Hey, how about some noise for those in the room this weekend. So good to have you guys join us here in the room. Hey, you know, this is an interesting movie because it takes us all the way back to kind of Gru's origins. This is his early years. This is where he kind of is beginning to grow up, and he has this dream. He has this intention to join this league of superheroes known as the Vicious Six. And he basically just wants to be the most despicable person he can. He wants to be a part of, I'm sorry, not superheroes, this league of villains. He wants to be kind of an evil villain and create havoc in the world. And so pretty much the whole movie is all of his shenanigans of creating havoc and showing how despicable he can actually be. And really, there's an interesting kind of through line in this, because one of the things we see is because that's his intention and because those are the habits and the behavior and the things that he's doing, that actually leads him somewhere. Those things actually take him to a certain place. And that's the theme I want to kind of run with as we look at this movie, Minions, this weekend. And honestly, there aren't many other themes in it because it doesn't go real deep. But this is a really powerful theme because, believe it or not, there's a principle involved here, a very powerful principle. And that is that the direction of your life actually leads someplace. It'll lead you to a destination. And so today, I want us to kind of explore this principle. And a principle is kind of like a law, kind of like the law of gravity that's always there. I mean, even when you don't think it's working, it's working. And so this is a principle that's affecting all of our lives right now. And so if you're a person of faith or a Jesus follower, this is affecting you right now. If you're not a person of faith and you're just here kind of checking things out, number one, we're really excited you're with us this weekend. But this is affecting you. If you're about to doze off right now, this is still affecting you. If you're like, man, I'm ready to learn, I want to take some notes, it's affecting you as well. This affects all of us. And it's something called the principle of the path. And if the principle of the path is new to you, then I'm telling you, this could be a trajectory changing moment for you. This could really be an inflection point where you begin to head in a different direction. And if you are familiar with the principle of the path, I mean, we've talked about this before at Crosspoint, but I like to revisit. In fact, I did this personally recently. Let me just tell you, I think today could again be a transformational moment for you, really an inflection point, because let's be honest, our lives continue to change. And your life today versus 2 years ago, 3 years ago is probably very different. And my life is different. And we've populated our lives with different things and different rhythms and different habits. And so we're going to look at how this is affecting us. And, you know, because some of us, we've kind of embraced the YOLO approach, you know, like, hey, you only live once, so I'm going to do whatever I can, as much as I can. I'm going to say yes to everything. And so you might be feeling like, man, I've got a lot of stuff going on in my life, but I don't know that there's a lot of purposeful stuff going on in my life. Or perhaps some of us have embraced the convenience route, you know, which is just like, I'm going to do whatever's convenient for me at the moment. I'm going to do what's comfortable. And so this, if this is kind of where you are, you find you're probably not really pushing yourselves, experiencing the fullness or the excitement or the experience of anything meaningful. You're not growing. And so I want us to dig into this idea because, see, here's the thing. We're all going to end up somewhere in this life. And you're going to end up somewhere either on purpose or by accident. And the reality is most people in life, they actually don't land or arrive exactly where they wanted to go. And the reason is because of this principle we're going to look at. And so this is based on a book, in fact. There's a whole book on this. If you want to dig in deeper, it's called The Principle of the Path by Andy Stanley. And so if you really dig this, you're like, man, I want to kind of dive all in on this. I encourage you to pick up this book. Now, here's what the principle of the path is. Principle of the path is that your direction, the habits, the things, the activity you are doing in your life, not your intention, your hopes, your wishes, your dreams, your direction determines your destination. Now, let me kind of explain what this means. We're in the Indianapolis area, and there's a highway here in Indianapolis called I-65. Anybody ever been on I-65 before? Oh, yeah, look at many of you. Okay. And if you're tuning in online and you're not in the Indianapolis area, we have a highway here called I-65. And you know, in Indianapolis, if I were to decide, okay, you're to decide, okay, how about we go to Florida? We're going to take a vacation to Florida. And I've got my shorts and my tank tops, and I've got my, you know, sunscreen, I got my surfboard ready on the top of my car, my luggage. And, you know, we're going to go to Florida. I'm telling my friends, man, we're taking a vacation to Florida. We've been planning this. And so I've got the car decked out. The family truckster is ready to pull out of the garage. I mean, we are headed, you know, to Florida. Florida. And you even prayed, like, God, give us traveling mercies, right? Like, because that's what we do. We're like, God, help me get there safe. And so you prayed, and then when you pull out of your driveway, you jump on I-65 and you head north, you will never make it to the state of Florida. You won't. You will never make it there. And when you arrive in Chicago, Illinois, and you meet some of the fine people up there, the Cubs fans, you know, Blackhawk fans, any Blackhawk fans here tonight? Cubs fans? All right, a few Cubs fans. And you talk to the good people of Chicago, and you stop at Buc-ee's, you know, to just kind of get some gas. And you're like, I don't know how I got here. And you start talking to people. Is there a Buc-ee's in Chicago? I don't even know if there is. There's Buc-ee's, okay. And you say something like, oh my gosh, I'm so upset. I mean, it's not what we planned on. I mean, we've been planning for months and months to go to Florida, and we even asked God to, you know, be with us as we got there, and we're in Illinois, definitely not Florida. How in the world did this happen? We're so confused. Well, you know what the good people of Chicago would say to you? They'd be like, hey, listen, you got on the right road. You just went the wrong way, right? Like, you went north instead of south, and you ended up someplace else you didn't plan to go, because the reality is the path that we choose, the direction we choose, actually has a lot to do with our destination. Now, you know this, right? You know this with driving, you know this hiking, but here's why this is so important. It's because when it comes to life, for some reason, we have a huge disconnect on this. You know, I'll talk to like an aspiring young adult, you know, that's like, man, I got my whole life in front of me, and then she'll say something like, yeah, you know, I want to meet this nice, fantastic Christian guy. I hope to date a good Christian guy, eventually marry a Christian guy. I mean, I want our lives to be, you know, about, you know, selfless, and I want to have an other-centered marriage where we're serving each other, and he's serving me, and she, you know, I'm serving him, and we're going to pray together and go to church together, and we're gonna you know, volunteer together. I mean, we're just going to have this kind of life, and that's the kind of relationship I want to have. But, you know, somewhere along the way, the path that she chooses is like, oh my gosh, he's so cute, and he asked me out, so of course I would say yes, because that's a path right there, right? And eventually one day she, you know, lands in the counselor of an, you know, office of a counselor, and she's like, I don't know what happened. I mean, I thought, you know, I just had these intentions of marrying this selfless guy, but he's all about himself and he doesn't really care what's going on in my life. And I don't even know that he pays attention to it. I don't know what went wrong. And of course you'd go, well, I mean, it's pretty obvious. I mean, you chose a path, and that path like has a destination, right? There are times I talk to, you know, young dads, and they'll say, you know, I want my family to just be, I want to be family focused. I want us to be family centric. You know, I hope when our kids are older that, you know, they actually want to be together. Like, even when they don't have to be together, even when they're old enough to be on their own and they're off living with their own families, I hope they want to come home at appropriate times, you know, Christmas, holidays. I hope they'll want to be together even when they don't have to. But the path that, you know, he falls into is like, well, you know, in my profession, man, I'm just kind of in a yes posture. I mean, if I get a job opportunity, I mean, I can't say no to upward mobility. I mean, I can't, you know, if I have, you know, new business opportunities, I mean, I just decided I'm saying yes, like, you know, because those don't come around all the time. And, you know, I might get passed by, and I don't want to, even if it means extra business trips and extra time away, and see, that's a path. And so years later when, you know, kids have grown, and all of a sudden they're like, yeah, the day I moved out, I don't ever want to go back. That was no fun at all. There was nothing about that I want to be a part of. And dad's going, I don't know, I did all this for them. And of course you're like, well, really? Or was it more for you? And that was a path. That was a path that was chosen. Or, you know, yeah, I want to have my kids, I really want them to have strong faith. I want them to know that Jesus loves them and God created them and Jesus wants to be their friend. And, you know, I want them to know what it means to trust Jesus. Man, I grew up with the faith. My spouse grew up with the faith. I mean, I just really want them to have that. But I'm telling you, man, life is so hard and complicated and the weekends are busy and we got travel sports and birthday parties and all, you know. I know it's important, but we'll get them in church, you know, when things loosen up a little bit. I mean, that's a path. Or, you know, man, I want to have that big faith. I mean, I have friends, man, they go through things, and they just, I don't know how they do it. Big things hit their life, circumstances, unexpected things, and they just, their faith, like, is strong through that. I want to have that. I want to know and live with confidence that God actually, you know, loves me and cares for me, and regardless of what comes my way, I'm going to be okay, and I'm going to have faith. And I know there's certain things and habits and rhythms that create that, but, I mean, I just don't have time right now, and I guess, you know, when the bottom drops out of me, when I really get to that bottom, you know, the barrel place, maybe that's when I'll get serious about my faith. And this is always a moment where it gets real quiet in the room for some reason. Because, you know, somebody's going, oh my gosh, how did you know? Well, because two reasons. Somebody always knows. In fact, somebody's probably tried to warn you on some of these. But then secondly, even though you're unique, your path is not. Your story is not. In fact, even your destination is not unique. Because see, direction, not intention, actually determines our destination. And let me say something to the students in the room for just a moment. You know, junior high students, college students, high school students. Let me tell you something about your parents for a moment. See, your moms and dads, in many cases, they wished they would have taken a different path in many cases. Right? They wish they could go back and be 20 again. They could be 18 again. They could be 22 again. I mean, they probably would have chosen a different path. This is why they say to you all the time, hey, do what I say, not what I did. All right? Like, don't pay attention to what I did, because they know they've ended up at certain destinations, you know, financially or relationally or maritally or academically or professionally. And honestly, they kind of regret it. And they're where they are because they chose a direction, and they know that, but it kind of led to a certain place. And so, you know, they intended one thing, they wished one thing, they actually dreamed even, but they took a path that led somewhere else. And this is why they overreact sometimes. Sometimes they're all up in your case and your business. It's really because they care for you, but it's just because they see where paths lead and they see things in your life and they want so much for you, because they know that the path always wins. 100% of the time, the path determines the destination. So what do we do with this? How do we know what the right path is? Well, you probably wouldn't be shocked to know that Jesus actually talks about this. And so Matthew, who's one of the gospel writers, one of the authorized biographers of Jesus' life, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, he was also a tax gatherer. So he has his scribes, or maybe he's a scribe, he's used to recording information. He writes all these moments down when he's with Jesus. And so Jesus has this big, massive, like, sermon on the side of a mountain. And at the end of this, I mean, Jesus included everything in this thing. I mean, it was like an all-day deal. And at the end of this, he tells this parable. And a parable is kind of a made-up story to illustrate a point. And in the midst of this parable, he really kind of illustrates this principle, the principle of the path. And so Jesus, he's wrapping everything up, and here's what he says. He says, therefore, because he's wrapping it up, so he's kind of at the end. He's like, all right, therefore, kind of in summary, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and actually does them, all right, and not listens to them and goes, oh my gosh, that's right, I really should do that. I mean, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to sit here. I'm not going to do that. It would be good if I did that, but I'm not going to do that. And see, this is kind of a big deal, because so many times we come to church or we tune into church and we're kind of like, you know, our religious experience, the extent of it is kind of like feeling guilty. Kind of like, gosh, I should really do that. And then I don't, and I feel bad about myself. Jesus, he'd be like, hey, don't do that. Don't feel shame or guilt. Like, I actually just want you to do something. Don't feel bad about it. Just like, you know, do something. So he says, therefore, everybody who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice will immediately experience relief relationally, financially, academic, all the alleys. You're going to experience it all, right? That's what Jesus said. No, that's not what he said. No, he said, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice will discover the fix, that there is a silver bullet to all of your problems. Don't you wish that was true? Actually, Jesus never offers any silver bullet or any fix. I don't know if you know this or not. In fact, this is one of the reasons I just think it's a really good idea to follow Jesus, because he never does that. He never says, hey, here's the fix, here's the solution. What he does is he actually invites people in a different direction, and he actually points the way in that direction. He points the way forward. So here's what he actually said. He said, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man or a wise woman. Now, this isn't necessarily a smart man or smart woman, though we might be. It isn't necessarily a resourced or a gifted or talented man or woman. It isn't necessarily, you know, somebody who has it all together. Maybe they do. This is a wise person, a wise individual, a wise man, wise woman, wise student. And we've talked about this before. You know what a wise individual is? It's somebody who understands that life is connected. They understand that, you know, what happens tomorrow is actually somewhat connected to today. And today actually is somewhat of a result of what I looked like and did in the direction I was going yesterday. And so he says, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built. Now, I don't know if you've ever built anything before. You know, building takes time, right? Like, if you built something, you have a project, some of us are like, man, if it takes more than an hour, you know, Legos, I'm out. I mean, building takes time. It's not like a quick, easy process. And so it says a wise man who built his house. Now, here's a big connect for us right here. When you hear the word house, this is a made-up story, by the way. When Jesus is talking about a house, what he's really talking about is your life, my life. He's saying, you know, as it relates to your relationships and your money and your profession and your marriage and your kids, I mean, anything that's important to you, you know, the wise person, when they're listening to Jesus, they put certain things into practice. It's like somebody building their house or building their life. And then he makes a statement that, honestly, we can't really relate to in our modern times. He says he built a house on a rock. And we don't really get that because, one, we don't build things, and two, we don't build on rocks. But see, in the first century context, when he's saying this, this represented a very specific thing. In fact, everybody in his first century audience would have gone, oh, we know exactly what he's talking about. This represents the hard way. This represents the, you know, the expensive way. This represents the rock, represents the consuming way. I mean, this represents the, like, it's not going to be done real easy. I mean, you're not going to exactly see a return on your labors right away. And then he introduces a whole new character into this little made-up story right here. And so he goes on, he says, but everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man, a foolish woman, a foolish student. Now, what does it mean to be foolish? Well, somebody who's foolish is somebody who just thinks life is disconnected. That, you know, I can do certain things in my relationship today and it's not going to affect tomorrow, or I can, you know, interact with my kids in certain ways today, but that's going to have no bearing on how they, you know, see me tomorrow. And, you know, if foolish people, it's kind of like we see life kind of like an appliance. You know, like if I just unplug it, let it power down, reset, like let everything blow over, and then I can kind of start all over again, plug it back in, everything's going to be fine, and you know, everything will move forward. And see, we look at that and we go, that's not exactly how life works, at least with humans. And so he says, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, which again doesn't mean anything to us. But to his first century culture, they said, oh, we know exactly what that means. Sand is kind of like the quick way, the easy way, the whatever everybody else is doing, whatever is most convenient at the moment way. And we said this, everybody goes, oh my gosh, this isn't going to end well. So then Jesus goes on and he says, the rain came down and the streams rose and the winds blew. And the assumption, the foolish people, is kind of like, hey, yesterday's weather is going to be the same to today. It doesn't change. But see, what they didn't understand is while it could have been sunny yesterday, today it's raining and it's blowing and the waters are rising. And he says, all of a sudden, these things beat, because the weather changed, beat against this house or your life. And it fell with a great crash. And the implications right here is there's no fix for this. I mean, it's like down, done. And of course, they're going, well, can you fix it? Well, can you just like do a few repairs? And they're like, no, you have to rebuild this. All right? And he says, well, I don't want to rebuild. I mean, rebuilding takes a lot of time. And it's like, yes, exactly. But, Jesus says, the rain came and the streams rose and the winds beat against the house. And he says, you know, when it comes to the house that was built on the rock, you know, the one that took longer time and, you know, wasn't as convenient, he says, you know, it did not fall because, you know, same thing you and I always think, that guy was so lucky. I mean, if I had his luck, I mean, if I could skirt around the storms like that guy skirts around the storms, I wouldn't be in the situation I'm in, right? I mean, it obvious is luck, and I just don't seem to have it right now. God, I don't even know if you love me right now, because I'm not seeing your hand in my life right now. That guy was so lucky. Jesus is like, come on, you know that's not how life works. Luck isn't a real thing. He says, no, it didn't fall because it was built on the foundation of the rock. See, this is the principle of the path right here, that your direction leads to your destination. Now, I love how he kind of ends this right here. He goes, it says, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds, look at this, they were amazed. He was amazing. He was amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority. They're like, this makes sense. This actually gives us some clarity on what we should do, the direction we should go. This helps us, like, with some handles that we could grab onto, not as their teachers, the religious leaders of the law. Now here's the interesting place where the Minions movie, The Rise of Gru, and this parable from Jesus right here, all of a sudden kind of intersect. Because they raise this question for us right here. Is the direction, this is what I want us to ask ourselves, is the direction you're heading getting you where you want to go? Is the direction you've been heading, is the things you've been about, the things you're filling your life with, the things that we've repopulated our lives with, the rhythms, the patterns, is that pathway leading you to where you want to be? Because, see, we all have a mental picture of where we want to be, right? We have certain dreams, aspirations, and that's great. But, you know, the question is, like, do we know how to get there? Right? I mean, because it's one thing to talk about. It's one thing to be like, oh, here's what we plan to do, and here's what I intend to do, and here's what I want and dream about. But one day, if we don't, you know, actually know how to get there, we're going to wake up 10 years down the road and go, oh my gosh, I don't know how I got here. I mean, this is not at all where I thought I would be. I don't even know what happened. And of course, I can tell you what happened. There was a path. There was a direction that was taken. And because direction always, 100% of the time, leads to a destination. Now, why do people choose the wrong path? It's not like we go out and say, you know what, I'm going to choose the wrong path. We're not like Gru. Most of us aren't like, you know, I'm going to go be despicable today. I'm going to do the wrong thing. Most of us, like, we want to be in the right place. We just don't always know how to do that. So I want to give you a couple questions, couple thoughts to kind of help us decipher that. Because see, here's what happens. There are things that come along in life and they capture or they grab your attention. I don't know if you can think of a moment where this happened, but isn't it true? Like, things grab. I mean, they capture. I love that word, capture. It, like, captures our attention. Can I tell you a story out of my life? You guys mind if I tell you a story about a time when somebody captured my attention? You guys mind? All right. So I was 19 years old, just got to college campus my freshman year. I mean, I'm like, man, this is awesome. I'm living on my own. Life is good. I'm making my own decisions. Doesn't matter when I come and when I go. School's going pretty great. Enjoying college, enjoying my friends, just kind of going down the road of life. Everything's going well. And then I met this girl named Julie Macy, and she captured my attention. All right. And so I asked her out on a date. And she went, and then we went on another date. And then before long, I'm spending like all this stupid money, like crazy stupid money on her because she's captured me, right? And I'm doing crazy stupid things like country line dancing. Picture that for a moment. You don't want to picture that. I mean, I'm country line dancing. And the team was like, I wish we had a photo of that. Everybody does. It was so long ago, they didn't even exist back then. All right, but I'm doing crazy stupid things like country line dancing. I mean, I'm staying up late. I'm driving at ungodly hours over to Ohio just to see her for a few hours on a weekend. I mean, I'm doing, you know, staying up late, you know, paying money to call on the telephone because, you know, then it was like wired to the wall. I mean, just all these things. Because I was daydreaming about Julie Macy because she captured my attention. And then 4 years later, we ended up getting married. Now, let me ask you this. Don't you think marrying her was like kind of in a sense shifted the direction of my life? I mean, that's the case, right? Of course it did. Now, here's the other cool thing. There are four people in the world now that wouldn't have been in the world if Julie Macy wouldn't have captured my heart and captured my attention, all right? And so when she captured my attention, it's like my life just veered in her direction, all right? And I'm telling you, it was a good thing. That was a good capture, all right? They're not always good, but that was a good one. Now here's what I want you to see through that. There are people that will come into your life that will capture your attention, and you will go, and you'll be captured by them. And some of them are going to be great, but some of them are going to be terrible. All right? They're not all going to be that way. And so, you know, we have to think about what is capturing my attention. And just to make sure we're all looped in here, all right? Has anybody else think of a time when you met a girl, a guy, and you're just like, woo, man, they captured my attention. And am I the only one? Anybody else have a moment where you, like, were captured by somebody? Come on. You guys are a bunch of liars out there. You've been captured somewhere, right? There we go. Yeah, we know what that's like, right? How about this one? How many of you have been captured by a thing? You know, everything was great, things are going along, and then all of a sudden, you know, a new promotion came along, you're like, oh, I think I'm going to take it, and then a new opportunity came along, you know, climb the corporate ladder, and before long, you're like, oh my gosh, my kids have opportunities, but I never had these opportunities to play, you know, in these sports, and, you know, play at this level when I was their age, so of course we're going to take them, and, you know, all of a sudden, there's something that's grabbed your attention, it's grabbed your calendar, maybe even grabbed your checkbook. I mean, how many of us can say at some point in life, there is something, inordinate thing, that has grabbed our attention, something that's not living in human, yeah. We know what that's like. And in many cases, it's great, right? It's not like they're bad things. It's just that, isn't it true that when that happened, your life veered in that direction, right? And all of a sudden, you begin moving in a different direction. All of a sudden, this new thing takes more time than the other things. And you know, you spend more time on the phone and less time studying, and you spend, you know, more time chasing the promotion and less time chasing the kids in the backyard, and you spend more time, you know, on the courts and the field and less time serving others and building into your kids' faith, and you spend more time doing business trips and less time doing family dinners. I mean, isn't it true? When something gets our attention, I mean, good or bad, I mean, it steers our life, because we already know what happens. The direction actually leads us somewhere. Now, let me ask you this, and you don't have to raise your hands on this. This is just more for you to think through. But there's probably a time in your life where somebody captured your attention. I mean, just captured, you're like, woo, man, it was amazing, and woo, yeah, she really captured me. But looking back, you're like, you know, I wish I wouldn't have paid attention to her. Or perhaps there was a time in your life where you're like, something. I mean, life was going great, and then all of a sudden, this opportunity came along. It felt like the right thing, the right opportunity, the right move, the right upward, you know, step. It just seemed perfect, and these don't come along every day. And looking back, man, I wish I wouldn't have signed or accepted or pursued it. See, we probably all have moments like that. What I want us to see is these things impact our lives. Because whatever grabs or captures your attention steers your life, you know, sometimes good, sometimes bad, in a direction. Now, there's another side to this as well. It's not just that things capture our attention or grab us, but the other thing is there are things that we give our attention to or we pay attention to. Perhaps that's why you're here right now. Perhaps that's why you're sitting in the seats today. Maybe that's why you're tuning in online and taking time to just sit and kind of engage with Crosspoint, because, you know, you're at a place you're like, I need to pay attention to my faith a bit. I need to give attention to my relationship with Jesus, my spiritual life. I just want to say, man, I admire you for saying I want to pay attention to that. I mean, in so many ways, that's what you're doing right now. You're saying, I want to grow in my following of Jesus. I mean, I think being here says, I think there's a gap between where I am and where I want to be. And when I'm in a place where I'm challenged, I'm encouraged, I actually am more effective, I'm more impactful. You know, the other 6 days, I'm better because I'm being challenged, I'm being pushed. And so you're giving your attention, you're you know, showing that I wanna give attention to something that moves me in a right direction. Many of you have disciplined yourself to, you know, pay attention to your kids' spiritual growth. I mean, you're like, hey, we're going to make sure we're regulating our weekends. We're going to make sure they're, you know, regularly in their environments where they're connecting with other adults and other kids and growing on what it means to know Jesus and follow Jesus. I'm going to make sure my kids are in small groups at CSM because they all need a community, need a place where they can understand how to do this thing called life and what it means to follow Jesus. Some of you who are students, you discipline yourself all the time. You give your attention or pay your attention to your academic studies. All right, and that's not a capture thing, right? Right, students, you're not like, woo, my studies captured my heart. You don't feel that way at all, I'm pretty confident. But you stay up late and you get up early and you pay attention and you give attention to your homework. And you know what that's doing for you? It's actually directing your life in a direction because you're paying and giving attention to it. So here's all I'm saying. There are certain things that have captured or grabbed your attention, and they will direct your life. And then there are other things that we give or pay attention to, and likewise, these direct our life. Because our direction, I mean, not our intention, not our wishes, not our dreams or hopes, but our direction determines the destination. This is the way of the journey right here. It's interesting in the movie, the Minions movie, Rise of Gru. You know, Gru, he just wants to be the most despicable person possible because he wants to be a part of this super league of villains and, you know, just be a bad person that, you know, creates havoc in the world. And all of a sudden, he begins to realize, I don't know that that's the destination that I want to end up at. I mean, he still kind of wants to do, you know, create havoc and do despicable things, but he realizes all those people, they're out for themselves. And that destination, the Vicious Six, that he so, you know, pointed his life to, he begins to realize, I don't think that's where I want to be. And he actually comes in contact with another person, and he discovers, you know, I'm actually feeling pretty alone out here. I actually need other people. I can't do this alone. And he actually even says at the end, he's like, man, you got to find your tribe. You got to find your tribe and never let them go, because that perhaps is one of the most important things. And you're going to have to see the movie to see how it plays out, because I know you're on the edge of your seat. But one of the things we know is direction, not intention, leads to the destination. So here's what I'd like us to do as we wrap up today. And since we're here, since we're watching, we've made a little space. Again, I'm kind of operating off the assumption that you're here, not playing church or just, you know, doing religion, but you're like, I recognize there's certain places that I am, and it's not exactly where I want to be. I want to continue to get to better places, or I want to, you know, to continue to clarify where my life is heading. And so I want you to just kind of ask yourself, what's been coming to the front of your mind? Has it been a relationship? Has it been perhaps, you know, your marriage? Has it been something going on with your parenting or your kids, or you know, maybe something that has to do with your scheduling or your work, you know, home life balance, is that have to do with your faith of just the, you know, the time that perhaps you put into, you know, following of Jesus, and okay, maybe I show up every now and then, but am I really building? Am I really taking the time, the hard work, the work that doesn't show results overnight? And I want you to just kind of ask yourself, you know, these two different, you know, things that kind of, you know, direct our life. Is there something that I need to pay or give attention to in any of those areas? Or is there something or somebody that's captured my attention, that's just not taking me to a place where there's more and more life, to a place where I want to be? Maybe it's a habit. Maybe it's something in your schedule. Maybe it's just things that have not allowed you to connect with other people who are heading in the same direction spiritually and to be an encouragement. See, the crazy thing is Jesus never offered a silver bullet or a quick fix. In fact, this is why the invitation, you know, we always give, and it just is reflective of the same invitation Jesus gave back in the first century when he would interact with people dealing with real life stuff just like you and me. I mean, the invitation was a one-word invitation. It wasn't believe. Just believe and everything's going to be good. It wasn't, hey, fix it. Just fix it. It wasn't stop. Sometimes we think, oh, God's just like, stop. It wasn't stop. It wasn't even change. You know what the invitation was? It was simply this one word right here. He said, would you just follow? Would you spend some time with me? Would you get to know me? Would you, you know, just begin to orient your life maybe in an increased way around me? Because I'm going to tell you, that's actually what leads over time to full life, to real life. And I'm telling you, Jesus will never let you down. This is something you can count on. And as you do, as you follow, perhaps maybe even taking a step for the first time, maybe it's taking a renewed step or saying, hey, there's some things I've let creep in and begin to direct me in a certain way, or there's certain things I just need to pay attention to. Man, I tell you, as you do that and you follow Jesus in that, you are going to build an enduring home. You're going to build an enduring life. And eventually, maybe not right away, but eventually, you're going to find that following Jesus and orienting around him, it's going to make you so much better at life. And you're going to find, again, maybe not right away, but you're going to find as you build this into your life, that life is so much better. And I guarantee you, you're going to end up where you want to be. And you'll be going, so, so glad you did. So that's the lesson. The invitation from Jesus and the message from Minions Rising Group. I want to pray for us. Heavenly Father, thank you. First of all, for this amazing story that you made up. Thank you for preserving it, allowing Matthew to write it down so we could read about it and unpack it and understand what it might mean to our life. Thank you for movies like Minions, which we can laugh at and have fun. And yet we find these lines, these through lines that cause us to really have to think, okay, what direction am I going? Is that the direction I want to be on? Is it taking me to where I need to be? And God, I just pray that you meet us in that moment right now, wherever we may be at with that question, whatever we may be feeling, sensing. God, would you communicate with us? I just ask your Holy Spirit to just interact with us right now. Help us to know the step we need to take as a result of perhaps where we are and where we want to be. And ultimately, Father, where you want us to be. We know that when we take a step in your direction, and we know it's a step that's going to lead to full life and good life. And it's a foundation we can count on. And so we're just going to sing this song and kind of let this song be our prayer before we leave today.